Welcome to our first sermon in our sermon series entitled Christmas Misfits. Today's sermon title, The Misfits of Christmas. Open your Bible to Luke 1, verses 26 through 35, and let's begin.
God of Christmas, you are the power of Christmas and you are the wonder of Christmas. Please call us from being Christmas misfits to Christmas insiders. Lead us away from the discomfort of Christmas and into the joy of Christmas. And may Christ be glorified. Amen. Have you ever been uncomfortable at Christmas time? Have you ever felt like a Christmas misfit? You just didn't seem to fit in some way. This means, yeah, Doc, I know what you're talking about. This means, no, I fit in everywhere. I'm so wonderful. I grew up in Minnesota, and my mom and dad's family all lived in Indiana, and every Christmas we would get in a car and drive to Indiana. Well, my mom and dad knew all those people. They grew up with them. I didn't know those people. They were their brothers and sisters. They were odd people to me. And every Christmas we would be there in Indiana, and it would be so much fun for my mom and dad, and I felt like, what am I doing here? I belong in Minnesota. Can anybody relate to that? You just didn't feel like you fit in. All my kids are grown up now. If I want to see children unwrap presents, I have to beg my way over to one of my grandkids' house to watch people open Christmas. And something just doesn't feel right on Christmas morning to be sitting in my house drinking coffee, looking at my little Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and no kids running around making mayhem. Anybody? Anyone? If I wanted adults, I wouldn't have had children. It's very, very easy to feel like Christmas misfits. But that shouldn't surprise us because the original people in Christmas were a bunch of misfits. When Mary was an old woman living in the city of Ephesus with John the Beloved, Luke came and visited her. He said, Mary, I'm writing a gospel, and I need to know the history. I need to know what happened. You were there. And I can see Mary an old woman, a big frizzy head of hair, white hair. And I can almost hear her say, I could never figure out how out of all the women in the world, God would pick me to be the mother of Jesus. And over all these years, I've pondered it in my heart. And to this day, I can't tell you out of all the women in the world why he would have picked me. An unlikely teenage girl living in a city that no one respected. But he did. And one day the angel Gabriel showed up in my little village. Joseph had asked me to marry him, but we hadn't set a date yet. And an angel who said his name was Gabriel showed up at our house. And the very first thing he said to me is, "Greetings, Mary. You have been favored by God." God found you and gave you great grace. Mary said to Luke, "It bothered me. It troubled me. I felt very uncomfortable with that." And Gabriel said, "Mary, don't be afraid. I mean it. God wants to be gracious to you. He wants to do something that is beyond your imagination. He wants to treat you in a way so much better than what you could ever conceive." He said, "Do not be afraid." And he said, "You're going to conceive and bear a son. And when that baby's born, I want you to name him Jesus. He's going to be great. I know when you look at your condition now, and I know when you look at around you, and I know when you look at your family heritage, you can't point to superstars in your family. But this baby that you're going to give birth to, he's going to be great. And generation after generation will call him the Son of the Most High." He's going to be a king. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will never be an end. Mary, you may feel like a misfit, but God has shown you grace. And through you, he's sending his only son. And that son is going to be great. And he's going to be a king over the kingdom of God forever and ever. Mary said to Luke, "Yeah, when the angel told me that, I'm sorry to say, my self-doubt was greater than his promise. And I said to the angel, 'How can this be?' I'm inexperienced. Joseph and I are engaged, but we've lived right and we haven't horsed around. And the angel said to Mary, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Mary said, in my wildest dreams, I'd only dreamed of having a normal son, a good man who would grow up, make our family proud, work with his dad in the carpenter shop. In my wildest dreams, I only dreamed of a son who would buy a house near me and raise his own family, and I could be the grandmother at Christmas time and have him over and give him goodies and sugar him up and send him home. I didn't feel like a proper fit to be chosen by God to be the mother of Messiah. If you were looking for a surrogate mother for a child you wanted to have, you would have never picked someone like Mary. You would have looked for someone who had a good education. You would have looked for someone who had a good genetic background. You'd look for someone who knew something about culture and had connections and could take the baby to plays and the orchestra and could visit important places like Jerusalem. If you were looking for a surrogate mom, even you, even me, would have said, she's a nice girl, but she doesn't fit our profile. Am I right? Church? See, here's something about Christmas that every one of us need to hear. God doesn't judge by appearances. He judges by the heart. And although Mary didn't have the external credentials, she was a woman who was capable of receiving the grace of God. And God said, that's all I really need. Church? If you feel like a Christmas misfit, it's not because of your background. It's not because of where your the right childhood experiences or the wrong childhood experiences. It's not because of your family or friends. It's not because of how much money you have or don't have. If you feel like a Christmas misfit, it comes down to one simple concept. Are you capable of receiving grace from God? Or are you grace resistant? Because you see, for some of you, it's very, very, very hard for you to let people treat you better than what you deserve. It's very hard for you. Isn't it? I like to give gifts. I don't like to get gifts. They make me uncomfortable. Huh? I feel good when I'm giving a gift. When I get a gift, I get this uncomfortable feeling inside. Especially if I don't have anything to give back to you. You thought of giving me a gift. I didn't think of giving you one, and now I feel awkward. It's hard for many people to receive grace. And because it's hard to receive grace, Christmases come and Christmases go, and it never quite feels to us the way the Bible says it should. Church, the Christmas season rushes by, and somehow or another, I don't get the same experience that the Bible says Christmas is supposed to be all about. And I'm telling you, it's an issue of grace. Christmas isn't about you finding God. Christmas is about God finding you. Christmas isn't about what you can give to God. Christmas is about what God wants to give to you. Christmas is not about you serving God. Christmas is about God serving you. And that's why we have to be open to the grace of God. So God can give me something I can't get otherwise. So God can serve me in a way I can't be served otherwise. Mary's not the only Christmas misfit. I can hear Mary saying to Luke, and you know, there was the Romans were not sympathetic, and they made rules, and they didn't care how hard it was for you. So the Romans decided that they weren't getting enough tax money from Judea. And so they made a rule that everybody had to go to the town of their ancestry and register with the Romans so the Romans could control the taxes better. Well, Joseph's family was from Bethlehem. We lived north of Jerusalem, and Bethlehem was south of Jerusalem. And by the time it was time for us to register, I was full term. But Joseph and I were committed to being together. So I went with him to the city of Bethlehem. And I gave birth to Jesus that night. There was no angel with us. We were all alone in a little stable. You see, we were misfits in the town of Bethlehem, and no one would make space for us. And the only place out of the weather that we could spend the night was in a little stable. And Joseph and I did the best we could to make it comfortable. And that night, I wept and I strained and I gave birth to Jesus. Don't think it looked like the Christmas cards you get today. The beautiful little manger, the star above it, a little lamb that's been polished clean and combed. Sheep are filthy. They stink. I've been in barns in Minnesota. They don't smell nice. Animals have no manners. And when the baby was born, I did the traditional saying. I took towels and blankets that we had prepared, and I wrapped them up in a tight little bundle. And because I was exhausted, I laid him down in a little manger. And fell sound asleep. But somewhere out on the hillside, there was a bunch of misfit shepherds. They hadn't been able to get their sheep to a pen, and so they had to stay up all night trying to watch their flock. And they got themselves on some little hillside, so they had a good view of all the flock. And while they waited, and time dragged by through the night, they were startled. Because in the stillness of the night, the skies broke open. And suddenly there was an angel appearing to them. And the glory of God shone around them. And the shepherds said they were startled and terrified. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Hey, Christmas misfits, don't be afraid. The angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. The angel said to the shepherds, don't be afraid. And the very same Spirit of God says to you tonight, don't be afraid. You may feel like a misfit, but don't be afraid. God knows you better than what you've ever guessed. You have nothing to be afraid of. You are known by God. The angels also said to these shepherds who didn't fit in the temple, they just were shepherds. What did the priest care about shepherds? They were shepherds. What did the Pharisees care about them? All they knew is they were probably unclean and you shouldn't hang around with them to begin with. What did the elites care about with them? They had a crappy job and didn't make any money. They were misfits. But God didn't give the message to kings and prophets and high priests. He didn't give the message to Pharisees and Sadducees. He didn't give the message to the elitist in the fine houses in Jerusalem. He gave the message to misfit shepherds. And he said to them, I've got good news for you. And it will cause great joy. Church, you know who God shares the good news with? Not the elite, the misfit. Church, when God is looking to share good news, he doesn't go to the dean of Harvard. When he's looking to share good news, he doesn't make his way through the halls of Congress. He doesn't knock at the billionaire's door. He goes to the common man and the common woman who wouldn't fit in all these fancy places. And he says, don't be afraid. I have good news and great joy. Church. And he said the good news and the great joy is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Hey, misfit. Can I tell you one more time? When God sent his son into the world, he didn't send a prosecutor who is going to prosecute you for everything you've ever done wrong. When God sent his only son into the world, he didn't send a judge who is going to gavel you out and remind you why you're a misfit and you deserve to be one. When God sent his only son into the world, he didn't send a snob who would marginalize you and talk down to you. When God sent his only son into the world, he sent a savior for misfits. Church, the good news is there is something in the heart of God that is so compassionate for you that he's going to send his son to save you from the outsider status and adopt you into the family. Church. And Mary said, the shepherds, they said, suddenly the angel wasn't all alone, but the whole sky was filled with a heavenly army. When you read hosts in the Bible, it generally is the idea of a large army. There was a heavenly host. The sky was full of warrior angels. And this is what they said. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is what the angel said to the misfit shepherds. Because Christ is the Savior, there's going to be glory in heaven and peace on earth. Church. Not the kind of peace that the UN brings, but the kind of peace that only Christ brings. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that guards our heart and mind. Church. God's message to those who somehow or another don't seem to fit in is, don't worry about it. The Savior makes glory in heaven and peace on earth. You don't have to fit in with all those knuckleheads. You have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Then suddenly it was all over. As fast as it began, it was over. And the sky was dark again. And the shepherds looked at each other and go, what was that? Wow. And then one of them, God bless him, even in a bunch of shepherds, there's one smart guy. He said, well, I guess we better go and check this out. We can't sit here now. We gotta go look. And so these misfit shepherds made their way out of the hills, down onto whatever pathway led into the city of Bethlehem. And I can see them saying, well, Bethlehem's not very big, but there's still a lot of houses here. And where is this child? They were misfits. I can see them knocking at two or three doors until finally somebody says, oh, yeah, that family. Yeah, nobody took them in. They're down at the stable. And these shepherds made their way to the stable. And when they got to the stable, Mary was sleeping on Joseph's lap, and the babe was lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. They just went and saw for themselves. Church, Christ invites you to come and see for yourself. You don't have to be an awesome person. You don't have to have the golden ticket. You don't have to buy your way in. You don't have to earn your way in. You just have to show up. Just show up. And you can see the majesty of the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Church. But you do have to leave your comfort zone. They were comfortable in the wilderness with their sheep. They had to do something uncomfortable to leave the wilderness and go into the village and find the Savior. Church. Some of you have gotten way too comfortable in the hills. And it's time for you to come out of the hills and come down to Christ. Church. You've gotten too comfortable living out there on your own. You've gotten too comfortable in the safety zone of being a loner, playing it safe, keeping everyone, including God, an arm's distance away. But when the shepherds moved from misfits to insiders, they left the comfort zone of the hills and they made their way to a little manger and they intruded on the Holy Family. Why don't you intrude on God once in a while? I mean it. Jesus taught us that God appreciates that. Can you believe that? Listen to what Jesus taught once. Ask repeatedly and it will be given unto you. Seek insistently and you will find. Just keep banging on the door until somebody opens. Jesus himself taught us that. God responds well when misfits show up and say, you promised if I came to you, you wouldn't for any reason cast me out. And now I'm here. I'm a misfit. But I'm claiming your promise. I'm claiming your promise. Whatever those shepherds saw that night was so powerful, they spent the rest of their life telling that story. And they went out with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that they had been told concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. The very first people to share the Christmas story weren't apostles. Wasn't Paul. It wasn't any of the big names of the New Testament. It was unknown misfit shepherds who started telling the story of the gospel first. Church, you don't have to be Billy Graham. You just got to see and sense the wonder of Christ, and you have something to tell. Even though you may feel like a misfit, Christ invites you to Christmas. Church, you, just the way you are right now, not a polished up you, not a nicer form of you, not a more holy you, not a more a sin-free you, you, just the way you are right now, he invites you to Christmas. In fact, it's more than an invitation. God is finding you right now and offering you grace. In this minute, somewhere in your heart, God is finding you. I'm not an angel, but I have an angelic message. Greetings. You have found favor with God. Greetings. God is gracious, and he's looking forward to being gracious to you right now. Church. He said to Mary, you're going to have a baby. He doesn't say to us, you're going to have a baby. He says something interesting, though. He does say this, I'm going to give you grace, and Christ is going to be formed in you. Do you get that? You're not going to have a baby. You're going to have the permanent character of Jesus Christ. God wants to form Christ in you. That's the grace of Christmas. God takes what is broken and ugly and shameful about who I am, and he displaces it with the beauty, the majesty, the purity, the goodness, the holiness, the righteousness of Christ. The misfit becomes the image of Christ because God finds us and gives us grace. Church, when God forms Christ in you, you become a perfect fit. Not just a perfect fit to be his witness in this world, but a perfect fit to abide with him forever and ever. He makes the misfit a perfect fit and invites us to abide with him forever. And so I want to ask this. Will you receive the grace of Christmas? Would you just receive the grace? Would somewhere in your heart, would you simply open yourself and say, I am receptive to your grace. I am receptive to your grace. Say the same thing Mary said. Behold your servant. Let it be unto me as you have said. Dear God, I trust your grace. Just do whatever you want in my character. I trust you. And then, as God gives you grace, would you do the very same thing the shepherds did? Talk about the grace of God in the way that other people wonder. Stop talking about Christ in ways that make people glad they don't know him. And start talking about Christ in a way that causes them to wonder, maybe Christ is better than what I thought. Church. Stop sharing the Christ who is a prosecutor. Stop sharing the Christ who is a judge. Stop sharing the Christ who is elitist and says you're not good enough for me. And begin to share the Christ who is so awesome that people become fascinated by him. And their wonder is triggered, and they want to know more about him. Church. Stop talking about Christ in a way that is so boring that people go, oh no, not this again. And begin to talk about Christ in a way that is so wonderful, they never want you to stop. Our dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for Christ. I'm so amazed by him. I'm also very, very impressed that you go looking for the misfits. You're not insecure. You don't need to hang around with the swells. You find misfits and make us awesome. You find misfits and you exalt us. You find us misfits and you fill us with grace. You find misfits and make us perfect fits. And I'm impressed with you. And this evening I say to you, I open my heart to any grace you want to give me. I open my mind to any grace you want to give me. I submit my will to any grace you're willing to give me. And I pray that the character of Christ would be formed in me. And I pray the same thing for everyone who's here tonight. And I pray that the Christmas story would sound differently to us. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.